players, past legends,
Tonight, we're pleased to welcome Chris Threadgold, the lifeblood of Sturt Football Club, aboard. Interestingly enough, started at North Adelaide in 1990, a couple of games, and did kick a goal. We will get to that, Threaders, what happened there. Then 91 to 2002 at Sturt, 223 games, 11 goals. Currently also football director of the Sturt, long-serving football director of the Sturt Footy Club. Welcome aboard, Threaders.
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks for joining us, mate. With most of our guests, we do a bit of research and like to find out where it all started for you. And just looking at some of your stuff, you probably started your footy back at Prince Alfred College.
I probably started at
Walkerville.
Actually, it was where I played my junior football.
So how many years at Walkies, Threaders?
Well, like under eights and under nines, yep. and that sort of thing. And then back then, they didn't sort of double up quite as much as they do these days, where you play Saturdays and Sundays, because you played club footy, it was always Saturdays, and then school kicked in, so sort of gave that away. And then sort of played school football and then into sort of Sandboy Cup type stuff at North Adelaide.
So you were zoned to North?
Yes, I lived in that area. I had playing for Walkerville, and my old man was the vice president of North Adelaide, long supporter of North Adelaide, so yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we're starting this early in this regard, Threaders. So what happened with North Adelaide? Because, yeah, I did think there was a family connection, yeah.
I suppose I was there in an amazing era. Sort of the likes of the Jarmans and the Reddins and all of these sort of guys. And I was a young kid, and Mick Noonan was a pretty hard taskmaster. And
yes,
sort of played a bit of reserves and maybe a league game or something, and sort of got to the stage where Mick sort of moves people on pretty quick. And it probably just wasn't the right spot for me at the time. And fortunately, I got a opportunity to go to Sturt, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
So does that mean you played 17s and 19s at North as well?
Yeah. I played Sandboy Cup.
I thought you were Sandboy Cup. Yeah,
McAdam and Carey, and quite a few good players in our era of under 15s and 17s.
And sneaking forward for a goal, you don't mind a goal every now and then?
I don't know about that. probably fairly lucky, I think, over about 230 games or whatever, 11 goals is not a great return, I don't think.
What was like Wayne Carey playing like with him as a kid? Was he in? Did he have an aura about him, even as a kid, or not? Or did you feel?
Did you think
this guy's going to be pretty good? Pretty special.
Yeah, no, I think we all thought that Duck was always going to be pretty good. And I think we all knew from an early age that VFL clubs had their eye on him from an early sort of an age. So, yeah, I don't know, no great surprises to see that he went on to do what he did. I don't think it was pretty clear from a reasonably early age, I think.
And who did you debut against for North Adelaide?
Oh, good Lord. I knew you'd ask something like that. My memory for those sort of facts is not particularly great. I do remember playing some Escort Cup games, particularly. I remember playing at Port Pirie against Port Adelaide once. Sort of memory fades a little bit with that sort of detail.
So arriving then at Unley in 91... In an era, in a time when Sturt weren't exactly flying, how was that start with and all that side of things?
Well, firstly, who got you to Sturt?
Who got you to Unley, mate?
I had a brilliant school football coach, a guy called Peter Thomas, who played a lot of reserves football for Sturt. Was in that era, obviously the golden era of Sturt. Then he played, couldn't quite crack it, but he said he had Sturt affiliations and believe that I had a little bit more to offer before I sort of vanished into the amateur league. Thought that I should give it a go, and got hold of Stephen Trigan and Ross Tui, I would assume, and they gave me they gave me an opportunity, which wasn't a guarantee, but did a pre-season, and eventually I reckon finally got a transfer, I reckon, just before the season started in 91.
It'd be interesting whether Mick would admit you got that one wrong. Not that Mick
admits too many that
he's
wrong. No,
Mick's a bit like the Fonz out of Happy Days. He struggles with the word wrong.
In fairness to Mick, to be honest with you, look, he was a very hard taskmaster. He had some amazing talent, and I think he had opinions of people and people's backgrounds that mine didn't quite match his at the time, and I was probably not mature enough to be able to work it all out. But as I said, I think it was certainly the best move for me anyway to go on, and even though Sturt were battling and struggling at the time, there's not too many times I didn't really enjoy my time at Sturt.
You've got that in common with Mark Bickley, because his experience with Mick was a bit similar to that too, Threaders.
So. Yeah, right. Yep.
Were there any other clubs that you were looking at the time, or was it Sturt came knocking and you said, yep, let's go, turnkey and go?
No, I think that was pretty much it. I was sort of, I was a bit despondent, to be honest. I probably wasn't enjoying football. Yep. Didn't have a lot of confidence, having been not an okay sort of a footballer for a period of time. I'd lost a bit of confidence, and probably was ready just to go and play amateur league and move on sort of thing. And it probably took me a couple of years to get my confidence up and start sort of playing some okay football at Sturt.
And while Sturt was struggling, we know that, but what was it like playing under Stephen Trigg?
Yeah, Trigg was great. He was a very task orientated coach, but a good person, Triggy. It's a pretty tough time for him to go in and at the time. And at that time, Sturt still, I think, had a few money men behind the place, and I think he'd sort of masked a few of the cracks in the place that they're sort of to trickle on, because they were sort of able to survive through a few people. It probably wasn't till after Triggy's, I think he was there 2 years, and then a few of those blokes drove across the Nullarbor and grabbed Hayden Bunton, who had amazing success over in WA.
Yeah.
To come and try and
South. Yep.
Yeah. Come and try and resurrect the Sturt Football Club.
And what was that like with Bunce? Because Bunce, again, was pretty skills orientated. And one thing he was known for at South Adelaide, he was a huge believer in table tennis for your reflexes. Did you have much table tennis with Bunce?
No, he was a huge believer in a lot of really bizarre things. To be honest with you, I really loved Bunce. And in the end, I think a lot of people sort of saw me as his golden child. He put me to the sword early. I think knowing of my background with Mick Noonan, he really put it to me. And I actually had a meeting with him and just sort of said, what's going on? I'm sort of working my butt off trying to do the best and keep my head down and whatever. And he sort of took that on board and, came up to me a few weeks later and said, I'm going to play you against Glenelg and you're going to stand John Fidge. And I went, right, yep. Okay, this is either going to be the complete end of my football career or...
Sink or swim, yep.
Yeah, and fortunately I had a good game against Fidge, and I'd played a fair bit of league football before that under Triggy, but that pretty much got my magnet stuck in the fullback position.
I was going to ask, because I can only remember you at fullback, Threaders.
Yeah, no, I played most of my football sort of centre-half back, centre-half forward. And school, I played a fair bit of midfield. I think I kicked four goals in one game at Sturt under Triggy, which soaks up most of...
Yeah, most of your goals, yep.
I pretty much that was it. Fullback from about, what was that, 1993 till 2002.
So just going back to 1991, obviously Stephen Trigg's coaching, you lost a lot of experience, but there was a good group of you young guys coming through. And what are your memories of that and some of the players that you played with?
Oh, we did. We had a lot of good players and guys like you. I sort of remember a guy called Rob Schaefer. He got drafted to the Western Bulldogs as a ruckman.
Yeah, I thought he was a ruckman. Yep,
he was a good player. We had O'Keefe. We still had a lot of Dave Reynolds and people like that. I think Dave only played a couple of years to Triggy, and that was it. And then sort of a few drifted back towards maybe the end of Triggy's or Bunce's year with sort of Underwood and Kitsky and whatever. But we did. We had a good crew. We had Sando was coming through, Corey Gray, Jason Bastion. There was quite a crew, but sort of didn't all gel perfectly.
Yeah. Did you just think you probably lacked a little bit of experience and that as well?
I think we definitely lacked a lot of experience. But we had some older guys. I remember big Jamie Stevenson was a good full forward who kicked 70 goals in a year that we came bottom, which is not a bad result. That's from a full forward.
Yeah.
So we had, we had the great the Dominator came and played with us for 12 months.
Yeah. What was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I think the money men sort of went and got him and thought it was going to be the great white hope. And, you know, there's some people you get to play with, and I know he's had a lot of different experiences and traumas in life, but it probably wasn't the right thing to do, to be honest with you. It was pretty cool as a kid to play with a guy like that, but it wasn't probably the right thing to do.
Oh, I think too, it's a classic still. I reckon people classify the SNFL and think, oh, doesn't matter if they're gone at AFL level, they'll still come over and dominate SNFL. Well, it's bullshit. Once the body's gone, it's gone. It's virtually gone at all levels. You might be okay at amateur league, but SNFL is still way too quick for a broken down body. And I think people are finally starting to realise that with things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
We move on to 94, mate. Just before the season started, the club's rocked by the sudden passing of club legend Jack Odie.
What's your memories of that?
What are your memories of that?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, they're not big. I always knew that.
Well, you didn't play under him, and he was getting on. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But I mean, obviously, everyone.
Yeah, Sturt Legend.
Ever heard?
Yes.
Was Jack Odie, and you know, we're led to believe, or whatever. We knew that he was always sitting up at the back of the Odie stand, watching what was going on, and certainly not in any disrespect, but I think everyone found it hard, because such a big person of the club. Was around. I don't remember much of the passing, to be honest with you, and what that was like. But obviously, what he did for the club was absolutely incredible. It's phenomenal.
Skills wise, you think of the Czech side and all things like that. Odie's had as much influence as anyone in the history of the game.
Well, he's just way ahead of his time. I mean, I think, you know, the basis of our game is really still based on the way he took, you know, you still watch highlights of
very true.
Flash Graham and these guys going around, and, you know, it's sort of old film, but you go, gee, they played a pretty exciting brand of football.
Yeah, they did. Even as an opposition supporter, Sturt were pretty special to watch. Quite bizarrely, I've always said the Sturt side in 78 still as good a side as we'll ever see. It just, they managed to kick shocking on the day which counted. Now, Threaders, to your immense credit, you then in 95, you've made captain, and it's a huge bow that you are with Paul Bagshaw, the two longest serving captains of 8 years at Sturt. That's got to give you a fair bit of personal satisfaction, that one, Threaders.
Oh, definitely. Personally, that was, you know, obviously great, but it was the people that I was around the whole time, and Phil Carman, probably had a leap of faith there, and we were gone. I mean, he pretty much coached his first year for minimum chips. And I remember going to our first pre-season training where you're normally used to about 70 or 80 blokes sort of turning up to run around and do whatever. And I reckon there might have been 15, 20.
Yeah.
And he had to build something from that. Which, you know, when you look back on what he did, I believe the foundation that he set back in that time to where we are today is because of Phil Carman.
Oh, I think you can make a case that Phil Carman saved the Sturt Football Club. Yes, with Sue Dewing and others in terms of the whole financial and people and that, but in terms of just keeping you guys on the park on a playing side,
oh yeah,
Carman's the one.
Yeah, and you know, obviously the personality of Carman. I mean, he when we were absolutely horrible, I think people still came to the football because Phil Carman was coaching the Sturt Football Club. And also, you know, with Phil, sometimes you never knew what you were going to quite at presentations and all that sort of stuff. So it was all a bit of fun. And I can't speak highly enough of my time under him, and what he's achieved in football was far outweighs that. But I think in his book and everything, other books, he's always... his time at Sturt with he and Wendy was the best time of their life.
To your huge credit, to Sturt's credit, and look, he went through more clubs than hot dinners, like not just the four AFL clubs. After that, it was club after club around the traps that he classifies Sturt as his football club, which I think that's a massive credit to you guys and to Sturt. Yeah.
Well, I think he found his family, obviously, and I spent a lot of time with Phil, probably spoke to him every day for 7 years, and would love going around having a stubby with him on a Sunday afternoon and talking with him and Wendy and whatever. And, you know, we were always, he was the caretaker at St. Peter's, St. Peter's College, and, you know, we'd do our Friday morning weir runs from his place, and we're always gathering at his place, and, always had Reese and Georgie. You were always in the change rooms as young kids, and it was certainly a real family for him.
Just taking a step back a little bit, just before that period, before Phil arrived, Sturt and Norwood embark on an ambitious plan to amalgamate with a view to enter the AFL as the second-based Adelaide team. What were some of the murmurings or thinking around that from Sturt's point of view? We've heard a couple of Nord people talk about it, but what was it like from Sturt's point of view?
Again, it was a hard one because apart from the Merv Cain sort of situation, it was a divisive sort of scenario. It was a survival, thought process. And, you can talk about ground amalgamation and rationalisation. You can throw that in the mix that, probably didn't help the Sturt Football Club either to be sort of pushed over to, or chose probably and pushed to go to Adelaide Oval and lost their identity for a period of time. And I suppose the remnants of that is I remember, Phil Sanders standing up in the McKay stand on a Saturday morning in front of a group of people saying, this will not happen. We will fight to stay alive sort of thing. And it did, and I don't really know what it is from Norwood's perspective, but I think, certainly in hindsight, the way the SNFL shaped these days, if certain Norwood had amalgamated, it would have been a disaster.
I always thought it was a bit pie in the sky. I thought it was, if I'm really being honest, I thought it was a bit arrogant by Norwood. It was almost to my mind of thought. Well, it was almost a takeover more than...
Well, and stick it up Port Adelaide a little bit, trying to beat them to the second licence.
I thought it was a bit silly, personally.
Yeah.
So going on there, so Fabulous Phil's time comes to an end. The arrival of Sticks Phillips and that. What were your thoughts there originally in that, Chris?
I think you go back a little bit and go, when you go from... becoming, wooden spoon for year after year, and then 97 sort of winning in a 10 in a row or something ridiculous to make an elimination final against North Adelaide and obviously got beaten. And the following year to win 18 or 19 games and be beaten by Port Adelaide, who got 8 or 9 back from the AFL.
Yeah, you were pretty unlucky with that.
It was, you know, pretty amazing. You know, I hold those years really fondly. And the 98 grand final, was devastating to get so close. And
you didn't have much luck that day.
So, no, and it was the last larger Sandful grand final crowd since AFL too, I think.
That does ring a bell.
Amazing going to Football Park and playing in front of 40,000 people. It's sort of like you're used to a spray of 2s and 3s or 1500s, and all of a sudden you come out of the change rooms and go, far out. What's going on here?
Yeah, that would have been, and yeah, that's a really good point because you're dead right. In terms of you played at Sturt where you weren't winning.
Mm.
And it was the diehards who were there, and then all of a sudden you had a packed footy park. It would have been, totally different side of things.
And you're still playing against your Poole North East and all these guys who probably racked up 8 or 9 premierships, and you got these little bit of a bunch of misfits, I'd like to call. Phil was very good at going and grabbing some people from all around the place and making good side of it. You know, Scotty Robinson from Nord, Nathan Irvin. Dean Woosnam from West, Julian Burton from Port. He found a way of getting a good relationship with people and picking up guys that just weren't quite good enough at their current clubs and came in and just fitted the culture at Sturt. And that was certainly, to Phil's credit, to be able to put those sides together.
Oh, I think even in that way, to more enhance it, like, Robbo could seriously play. Like he'd gone to Sydney and played some reasonable BFL AFL footy and then ended up sort of somehow on the outer at Nord. I don't quite understand that why there. But, you're right that Carmen got him on board and then a key player. And Julian was, fringe at Port. And then Juice became a really key player for you guys.
Michael Wharton.
I
think just a reserves footballer at Port and was a very, very big part of that period of time as well. You know, Andrew Geddes, but off the Port of the Crows list. Became an absolute stalwart. And then, the Johnny Richters that were there forever and the Bruce Lennons. And then, obviously, Phil was instrumental of getting Brody and Damien Squire. So they racked up a few McGarry medals at Sturt too.
Yeah, you did have a role there for a while. Sheeds, Weathers, you have had a bit of success.
Luke Crane won one as well. It was quite a few McGarry medals. Some good celebrations when you weren't playing in the finals. you could actually enjoy McGarry medal night.
I reckon you would have done all right in that regard too, Threaders.
We were pretty good at that.
As most clubs are. Obviously, after a bit of a drought with a few wooden spoons there, you then make your first grand final since 1983.
What was the build-up like?
It was the unknown, I suppose. Didn't know what to expect. I thought we sort of floated through it pretty well. You did the parades and bits and pieces. David Tiller was our runner, who was amazing. For us as well. I remember him talking to us before the grand final of his experiences and obviously he played in a few. And it's all a bit of a blur, to be honest with you. It was such a big day. I stood Scott Hodges on the day. It was a big, big day. Quite hollow, to be honest with you. I reckon we went back to the Arca Bar or something like that for the after party. I think I went home and sat in my backyard with my dog for about an hour and had 3 beers just patting my dog and then found a way in. And we had a massive celebration because it was an amazing achievement. But certainly, what are you? Still quite young, so you think, you're going to get one. And then, we had a couple of goes at it, and probably the biggest one was 2000. We lost the prelim to the Eagles, and the Eagles went on to play Centrals and win, and we always beat Centrals. They never used
yes,
to beat
you
us.
Had a yeah. It was funny in that way. They
never beat
went
us,
back and forth in that regard. Yeah,
but we could never beat the Eagles for some reason. But we always believed that year was a bit like a 98, the sort of one that got away. If we could have got over the Eagles, or but yeah, we didn't do it. We weren't there, so you can't really predict what would have happened.
Did you feel 98 against Port Adelaide, who had the luxury of including some of their AFL listed players, was partly? I know we don't want to make excuses, but you know that does play a part.
We blew it. We should have been. We should have been bloody.
Yeah, you missed some
goals up at half time.
Yeah.
No, we blew it. We were inaccurate, and a couple of unlucky